Well, the problem with Borath is you can't really stay in the monastery. They tend to frown on it. So Jim and I had to make do outside of the monastery for the night before coming in today to talk with the clerics again. So after a nice, tidy breakfast at the four-star hotel that is just outside the monastery here, we roughed it for the night and are here in the morning again to talk with the clerics. Today, Kartan is joined by John Shi. Yeah, I almost got it. And John Shi is going to give us the exact words from the Potboth that Kartan is going to explain to us this morning. So
we'll
I'd like to now turn it over to the two clerics and ask them to enlighten us.
Okay. John Shi, we are on Canto 11, starting on page for you 85.
Yes. Rector El Kalish, Medj Lord Khan, Kash Jajlo, Ov Choch Chal, Rector Dindak Rachtach Kalish E, Dach Lord Khan Mukme Val Yaj, Rector El Kalish, Ul Biktik Dak Rosh, Krishtak Kod Rosh, Rector El Nuv Kodj, Rector Vo Tled Rach, Et Tu Betchur Nech Veklar, Rector Vo Cherlach Nuvam, Not Krapta Vait, Biktik Chechdak, Yittach Vish Kalish, Krishtak Kod Dishdak, Tu Kalish E, Dish Verluchur, Pa Cher Pubor, Nuv Pu Kapu Tutlu.
Canto 11. Kalish enters Grithor. The old man walks away. Then dawn lights the surroundings. Kalish is at the entrance of Grithor. He understands now the wise words of the old man. Kalish enters Grithor, follows the River of Fire, deep into the Krystak volcano. One can only return from this underworld if Vechlar does not notice one entering or leaving Grithor. No one has ever succeeded walking along the banks in the heart of Krystak. Kalish finds himself in the cave leading to the world beyond the living. Now, what I wanted to stop here is back up just slightly. So Kalish has met an old man who acts as an omen, a harbinger, or a guide, telling him, yep, you've got to do what you said you were going to do. You're going to go to Grethor and bring back your father and your brother. And he indicates to go to Krystak. Now, I did mention previously that when I present this, it's not always just the Klingons here at the monastery that I share these stories with. I have been enlisted by Starfleet to present this material to first-year Starfleet cadets in their introduction to Klingon culture as well. So I have had to try and tie this in to the stories and the tales that humans would know. And I came to find out in studying human culture that there is this concept of the harrowing of hell that occurs in many cultures on Earth. In the Judeo-Christian Bible, in 1 Peter 4:6 and Ephesians 4:9, it implies that their Messiah Christ went to hell and spoke to those that were there. Here's what I wanted to get to. We're talking about Krystak, the volcano. We are talking about the River of Fire and Lake Lusor, we're going to get to in a little bit. So we're talking about a lake, a river, and a volcano. And I found that there are similar allegories in human mythology. So the Plutonian in Hierapolis in Turkey is a mountain with hot springs that is thought to be an access to the underworld of a god of the dead named Pluto. And Acheron is a river that flows through northwest Greece, but it figures prominently in their mythology as leading to the underworld. And then there is Lake Avernus, and that is near, I believe that's pronounced Cumae in Italy. But this idea of these lakes, these volcanoes, these rivers leading to the underworld, I was a little surprised to find that humans had so much in common with the stories of the Klingons. And then I heard about this oracle of Delphi, who used to do these prognostications, and there are some scholars that believe that she got her insights from the fumes that came up through the mountain beneath her. And I thought how similar that is to Nomat on Koltnosh and the fire caves beneath the monastery, where Klingons are known to have had visions. So I drew that correlation, and I realized that there's probably something in these stories that speaks to humans as well as to Klingon. Was there anything that you guys wanted to share, or should we continue on?
Continue on, please.
Okay, absolutely. Janshi, I believe, Canto 12.
Betlech Chen Kalish. Ha Medun Vitarup Jeshech Ernish. Udechborg Dochme Veshechnish. Koch Veshechnish. Jibdaj Lumechmoch. Kul Biktik Kulchome. Jioch Ku. Jinash. Jimup Dit. Jimek. Jinab. Jibdak Lumechmoch. Bejtach Vish. Ashmoj Jib. Retor Dak Leng Betmech. Or do it Vikhan. Muyon moch bortash nech.
Kalish forges the batleth. Kalish, I am made for great deeds. I must take control of myself, my surroundings, everything, all. Sparks from the fire river caught his hair. Kalish, fearless I will be. Ruthless I will strike. Rational and planned, all. Caught his hair and turned to steel before his eyes. Kalish, I will save my kin from Grethor and take revenge. Now, what we're talking about here in a very oblique way is the forging of the first batleth. Clearly, it's not a detailed explanation of the metallurgy, okay? I mean, today we make our batleth from baconite, which is an alloy. We have no idea what was involved other than the fires of Kreestach and Kalish's hair. Somehow. It doesn't even specifically say that. I've heard interpretations that Kalish cut his hair and used that hair to fashion the metal that he made the sword from. I've heard others who said, well, adding carbon to steel strengthens it. Perhaps Kalish used his hair as that carbon. That's another entirely possible interpretation. I think, though, that what's really important is that Kalish fashioned the first batleth himself before engaging in this journey. Again, drawing the correlation to the great swords of so many other mythologies, things like Excalibur and so forth. That was just what I wanted to say about that particular canto.
I'll add something here.
Please.
Maybe slightly prematurely, because you bring up the name of this, which in modern Klingon is Betlech.
Yeah.
But the Betlech is not actually mentioned here in canto 12 of this section. In the prologue of the next session, the Pakrad, it's actually mentioned, the Betlech. But of course, so from a linguistic stance, the term Betlech comes from the words Atlet, which means sword of honor.
Yep.
That little linguistic note.
No, that's a very important point. And so we refer to all swords in this style as being Betlech, but it's also a proper noun for the original sword of Kalish. Right?
Correct.
Okay, you're right. So we are going into the next book, the Pakrad, the Force book. So the prologue, go ahead.
Lutcheru, Kalish, 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 Dach Betlech Yichenmoch, Batnuch Yichenmoch, Yehir Kalish, Yehir, Betlech Lij Yeuch, Ulij Devjaj, Ach Krishtak, Bot Jushtach Kalish, Nuch Me Raj, Ej Shuvrup Rach, Biktak, Karidak, Paudik Kalish, Kojdak Kam, Bingdak Kotnosh Botler, Yehirt Kalish, Yehir, Etlech Lij Yeuch, Ulij Devjaj, Ej Pum Kalish, Pumtach, Hurtach, Pumtach, Hurtach, Rik Pum Etmev, Biktik Dokler. Biktik move moch ew, retor lodge mit adak, ew biktik rosh, na de vocher par, ye rear kalish, ye rear, tlech lidge ye uch, ew lidge devjaj.
Prologue. Kalish, Kalish, Kalish. Now forge the batleth, weapon of pride, all. Go, Kalish, go, go down. Grip your batleth, and let it guide your blood. Now, Kalish continues, armed and ready, past the heart of Kristak. It ends at a cliff, leading straight into the core of Kotnosh. All, go, Kalish, go, go down. Grip your batleth, and let it guide your blood. And Kalish fell, for eternity it seemed, in never-ending darkness. Then he sees bright red. At the end of his fall, it is a river, blood-colored. The blood streams carry him to the great gates of Gwethor, the land from where none return. Go, Kalish, go, go down, grip your batlet, and let it guide your blood. Janshi, was there anything you wanted to comment on about the translation here?
I don't think so.
I was just looking at this note about the second stanza and the fifth and the ninth.
Oh, what does it say?
It says alternate Klingon. Because, again, as you were saying previously, this is an ancient script, and there is actually multiple Klingon translations, let alone English translations.
Yeah, so there is an alternate version, which is Yerosh Kalish Yerosh Yerir, which the version that I read, Yerir Kalish Yerir, means descend, Kalish, descend. Mm-hmm. The alternate version, Yerosh Kalish Yerosh Yerir, is a lot closer to how the English is written. Go, Kalish, go, go down. Yeah, but the difference is minor. I'm not sure it matters much. I actually like the more direct and succinct Yerir Kalish Yerir.
Go down?
Just go down, Kalish, go down.
It does have a shade of meaning that implies, rather than falling, actively going.
Right.
No, I agree with you 100%. Okay, good.
Let me think linguistically about that for a second, because the fact that it's a command with either version, whether you use Yerosh or Yerir, it's a command to descend. It's
right.
Not a description of something that's happening accidentally.
Right, exactly. But I do like the idea of him. I almost picture him descending as opposed to leaping and falling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's marching forward every step of it.
There's also, with the alternate version, Yerosh Kalish Yerosh Yerir, the Rosh word there has an implication of following the path. So the alternate version sort of includes an indication that he's following the path to the destination.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know. I like the version that just says Yerir Kalish Yerir, because we don't know if he has any clue where he's going or if he's just heading deeper and deeper, hoping he'll wind up in the correct place.
Right. Good point. Excellent point. Okay. That brings us to the first canto of this book.
Veklar Toj. Kalish, Kalish, Kalish. Retor Lodge Mikdak Shochtach. Nuv umcha lechur veklar. Ngosh nuv umcha net jat. Shov bej par. El ta nuv lau. Ter ta par. Eu bik tik vo posh shuvwe yoch. Buch kad dak pow. Ak shum cha vo wab huj koi lu. A bik dujvo wab koi lu. Der wit rach potar e. Potar kotar kotar. Ke ron chaj kavdak. Shuv wit pu ma idev. Krak kalish duj. Retor elmech. Yap be mai e shov chu. Duj wov moch wit me ang kalish betlech boch. Tur nab or kalish. Retor lodgmit lu rosh. Rer pu bor nuv pu ka pu. Chen wedge kler me. Krit wa ka nud veklar. Krit lat ka nud veklar. Kher lurur mindu daj. Kalish, kalish, kalish. Khob mindu vek. Khoch bej bich. Du bej tak vish. Kher na mindu. Betlech vo kotar mindu mirdak boch ot. Kash tak vish. Poch ngaj lech lach be. Retor el kalish. Rikh be rach ej khad.
The deceit of Vechlar. Kalish, Kalish, Kalish. At the gates of Grethor. Here you are. Those unfit disintegrate at the glance of Vechlar. So it is said. No one knows for sure. Many have entered. None have returned. The fearless warrior climbs out of the blood onto dry land. Strange sounds come from afar. It is the barge of the dead with Khotor at its helm. Khotor, Khotor, Khotor. Guide our warriors to their final battleground. Kalish knows by instinct a fight will not suffice. To enter the land of the dead, the light from the ship reflects on his batleth. Soon, Kalish will devise a plan. The spirits of the dead go to the gates of Grethor in lines of three. Vechlar inspects them one by one with his deadly glance. Kalish, Kalish, Kalish. Beware those eyes, for they will kill without a doubt. When the eyes of death are upon him, light reflects off the batleth into Fechlar's evil eyes. His eyes are blinded for a while, and Kalish enters Grethor, unharmed and safe. So, the idea here is he's got to get past Vechlar in order to get in. Getting out, that's going to be coming up in a little bit. But he makes it past without being killed by the reflection of light off of his sword.
Now, the listeners may know that Vechlar is the guardian of Grethor, but have we talked about Khotor yet and what his part is in this?
We did mention Khotor, was it last time or the time before, when we were talking about the first Klingon. Khotor was the first Klingon. He and his mate slew the Klingon gods, and as punishment, he was made the ferryman on the River of Blood, ferrying the souls of the dead to Grethor. Yes.
So, since Kalish made the first batleth, we're left wondering, how did Khotor slay the gods? It's never talked about in Klingon mythology.
It certainly isn't, and one has to assume that it is his bare hands and his force of will. Well, his force of will married the two Klingon hearts, right? I mean, that's what we talk about in the marriage ceremony.
Nothing you can get, beat the two Klingon hearts.
Exactly, exactly. So something in their spirit. And of course, we are talking about a less literal battle and a more spiritual battle. So that might be a little bit beyond the introductory level of where we're at right now, but it's an excellent point. It really is.
I have a layman's kind of question.
Sure.
Okay, where in all of this do the Herc come in?
The Herc come much, 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 much later.
The Herc are still, they're still out in space trying to find Kronos.
The Herc did not, the Herc invasion did not occur until after Kalish had gone.
Okay, thank you. Because I had read somewhere in one of the books, not a canon book, but it said something about the Herc may have been considered the gods that the Klingons defeated.
Well, let me put it this way. Kalis makes the first Batleth in this saga, and it's that Batleth that the Herc take away and hide in the DS9 episode. So,
okay.
There's canon.
Outstanding.
Yep. No, he's absolutely right about that. So the stories we're talking about here taking place in the 9th century, the Herc invasion would have been in like the 14th century. So we're talking about, 500 years.
And remember, it's shortly after the Herc invasion or the Herc repulsion that Klingons decided to expand out into the universe so they were never surprised by an invader again.
Outstanding. Okay, well, thanks.
Okay, so we have a couple more cantos. I want to get through at least through Canto 4 today, if we could. So, John Shi, Canto 2.
Hecha lodne. Lodne wi kech ba. Chak bat bivang katlach. Kish tak dak tolon dit jiyin. Dach jiyin je. Shokhva jichup. Yin tach bor nuv put dak. Chitlej, chitlej. Chitlej, ej niteb cha, molor wishuv, bechar tach vish bat becher, vaj kotar vad benob erde, klingan tukme shub shoch, jedor ku verej lupmo, ej bortash venechmo, jeleg lach be ach chovuv tach, vaj kordu rush khosh lau kher khosh push lord net dach judge bat jivan e vip molor vishuv tach vish jeher.
I will present the translation as it is presented here, but then I will comment on that translation. A brother's forgiveness. Kalish, my brother, I see your anger. You might have a chance to make amends. I am as alive as I was when you left me at Klystak. I have an offer to make. Come, come, come with me to the living and fight Molor with me. In battle, you will die with honor so you can give yourself to Kotor as a hero of the Klingon tribes. Morath. What a fool I have been, blinded by fear and spite. And still you find me worthy. This can only mean our family bonds are stronger than even death itself. Brother, on this day I swear to be honorable and die in battle fighting against Molor. I have some problems with the translation of a brother's forgiveness. I don't think that really covers the spirit of the Klingon here. A more literal translation is a brother unresents. This idea of forgiveness, a little bit odd for a Klingon. It's more an opportunity that he is giving to his brother to restore his honor and the honor of their family. He does not forgive, but he gives opportunity to restore honor. Is that how you would read that, John Shi?
Yeah, there's a linguistic thing going on here with the Klingon, that there's a syllable you can attach to a word. The syllable is cha, and it means an undoing of something.
Right.
And so the kech is the brother has resented. Now the brother is undoing the resentment. It's not so much forgiving as returning to a state where the resentment is not the thing that's blocking what's going on.
Or another way, I think, to put it would be that Kalis is open to the possibility that he will regain his honor.
Forgiveness is not something a Klingon just bestows. It is, if a Klingon is so inclined, he will grant another the opportunity to restore one's own honor. And that is what I see Kalish doing here.
Yeah, I agree.
To Kalish, isn't the restoration of honor more important than the issuing of forgiveness?
Absolutely. He has no interest in forgiveness.
It's the honor.
It is entirely the honor. And honestly, I tend to, perhaps I project this onto Kalish. It may not be truly here in the text, but I do believe that he had affection for his brother, as one does for family, with an expectation of the duties that family needs to fulfill. And this is exactly why he has undertaken this quest to begin with, for the family, for his brother, and for honor. So it's a very active thing. Forgiveness seems to be a very passive thing that one grants, whereas what's actually happening here is the holding out of a hand to present an opportunity is what's actually happening here. Okay.
And it's probably important to point out for any humans that are listening that he is offering his brother a chance to come back to the land of the living. Mm-hmm. But not so that his brother can live.
Right.
His brother has died a dishonorable death. He destroyed the family heirloom and jumped into a volcano rather than dying in battle. And so Kalish is inviting him back to the world of the living so that he can die a glorious death in battle and thus restore his honor.
Right. I had not considered that. I thought that was self-evident, but you're right. The humans might not understand that as clearly. The idea of being given life again is not for the purpose of living. It is for the purpose of dying again, but this time doing it right. Excellent point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Actually, what's not even mentioned is, isn't he offering him the chance to transition from Greythor to Stovakor?
No, he is not, because the concept
will end up in Greythor?
No. Well, let me preface that with the fact that Stovokor does not yet exist in the pop. We are going to get to that. In fact, not tonight. In a future reading, we will get to the formation of Stovokor. Yeah. But you're right. We're getting there. You're just jumping ahead. You're excited. You're excited, and you're getting all ahead of us.
I'm thinking of all these poor warriors who are sitting around the dang feast table going, what the hell are we doing here? There's nowhere to go. Exactly. We got to go somewhere.
We got to watch out so we don't spoil our epic here.
Exactly. Okay, Canto 3.
Romchukka lodnipu vavje. Ma romchukka de shuyin bejmech. Dach mokbara on shoutme sha'ar. Move chukmech yabmaj porgmaj je. Move chuk ka mech por ka je mok bara ton shao de lo judge shuch taivam tik wilop choch judge wat ditch notch I cha ditch riv I wedge ditch burg I losh ditch bing I var ditch dung I tara tik chotch bot. Chotchlor dat joktach judge. Dach mararchuk mayin tach vish. Wa dol bich ka et por et je. Mokbara aime botata bat nadev shudab.
The family reunites. Kalish, I will show you now the forms of the mokbara so we can reunite in the flesh. Let us join our minds and body in the forms of the Makbara to reunite body and soul. We are ready. Let us commence this ancient rite. Kalish. First, Nacht, the form of the head. Bachiv, the form of the legs and arms. the Burk, the form of the stomach, the Bing, the form of the space above and below, the Dung, the space beside, and finally Tik, the heart and center of all things. May it forever beat anywhere. We are now connected. Spirit and body are one until our time comes. You have both finished the forms of the Mokbara. Welcome to this place. I find this translation to be a little challenging here. I see what they're trying to do as they describe the forms of the Mokbara. The form of the stomach, sure, Burk. The form of the space above and below.
English is such an ugly language.
It is. I'm not comfortable with that translation. Do you feel that's the best translation, Janshi?
No, but I mean, the best translation, so the whole section sort of has a weird thing going on. In Klingon, it just says, this is the legs and arms. This right. is the stomach. This is the space below. This is the space beside. This is the heart, you know?
Exactly.
But as the Mokbara has been transmitted, these names have come to be names of the forms. So in the English version, mm-hmm. it's doing double duty, saying the name of the form is Riv. That means legs and arms.
Okay, I see then what they're trying to get at there. Yeah. Okay. The yeah. other thing that the Klingon does is it places it in order. First, second, third, and
oh,
so
yeah.
forth. English so, just says and then, that is then, not, then, then. It does, the English translation does start out with first, and then it goes, then this, which is fine. I suppose it does convey the spirit of the order of it, but I would feel better if you were to say first form, second form, third form, because if you were doing an instruction of the Mokbara, you might say, start from third position.
Well, that's exactly how they do it in the martial arts classes here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's karate or taekwondo or whatever. You've got the katas. The katas are like the Mokbara. They have names, and they'll say, first form, assume position, begin.
I will also point out that this was probably translated by a linguist and not by someone who was necessarily schooled in the martial art, and therefore I will just mention it and we'll move on.
I have always wished we could find somebody in CAG who had enough martial arts experience to actually design a Mokbara that could be taught at conventions.
Janshi.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm quite at that level, or I feel I'm not quite at that level, but
so you got to start somewhere.
That's true. And you have the fighting arts book, don't you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And I think actually the fighting arts book in some ways may actually make use of some of this.
Yes.
But it's not clearly connected to the Pakpat.
No, because I think it actually predates this translation.
I'm pretty sure it does, and I sort of wonder if the people who translated this may have even used that form of Betlech to create some of this.
Yep. Okay, one last canto. The reason that I wanted to take it this far is this takes us through the journey into and out of Grethor, and then we begin next time with the preparations for battle. Okay. So canto 4.
Narg Vaj Porch Chaj Move Kat Jaj Molor Lukadmech Yin Kat Cha Shuv Whippu Klosh Loj Mitme Verde Kalish Kordu Je El Veklar Jach Veklar Jat Mukard Vait Edge Retor El Porch Nuktak rach petak e targ darur vaj kasham ej kahoch rik cha tik dutlej ve shop krech kumo veklar Cher duj luel cha kotar tapu kalish je et lerbe veklar kash di watlesh shuvwit pu kapu yirmech eu bik tik dak leng choch duj.
The escape. And so their spirit and body connected, the two warriors resurrect to confront Molor. Kalesh and his kin were almost at the gates when Fechlar came in. He screamed, "Where is the Patach who dares to enter Rethor within a body? I will hunt you down like a targ and slay you, then eat both your hearts." In his rage, Fechlar never saw two of Kotor's souls and Kalesh enter the Barge of the Dead. The next day, the barge set sail on the River of Blood on its way to gather the souls of the fallen ones. Again, as I was mentioning to Jianshi between last week and this week, I struggle with this translation of this concept of two hearts. In this case, one could argue that it is referring to the two dead individuals as opposed to Kalesh, but I think the implication is meant to be that Kalesh has two hearts, and I still feel that's a translational issue for the person misunderstanding Klingon anatomy here.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that this version of the Pakbak, some of it is a recreation from materials. So translation errors, even in the Klingon, are certainly a possibility.
That was something I really meant to speak about when we first started this study, but I think I'll mention it right now. So for the modern Klingon, reading an ancient text, you have to deal with trying to set your mind in the time and point of view of the original author, which may be almost impossible, okay? But because you also have to deal with over 1,000 years of interpretation and additions and extrapolations. And you also, when you try to share it with someone of another language in another culture, you have that layer of translation as well, which can be difficult, which is why I do try to speak to the archetypes and the things that are similar between cultures that I think everyone can kind of relate to on a subliminal, you know, spiritual level, so to speak. But that is the supernatural element, the supernatural journey of Kalesh. Next time we will begin the preparation for the battle against Molor. Okay?
Very good.
That begins on page 108 and 109.
Yep.
Of the text. If you're reading along, and I would highly suggest you do so. That's to our listeners.
Is this translation of the Pakbat still available, Jianshi?
Good question. I am not 100% certain. The translators are actually going through and doing a revised edition.
Oh.
And so there will actually be a revised edition available at some point, but no date has been given for that yet. I thought it was still possible to purchase copies of this. It was a print-on-demand thing, and so I think they've still got that running, but I am not. It's been so long since I've looked into buying a copy that I don't know.
It's $24 on Amazon.com. $9.99 used or $18.71 new, depending on how Amazon is selling things.
So that answers our question, I suppose.
It's still available.
Let's not forget, I downloaded a free version of this on PDF just by doing a web search. So that's where I got mine from.
There's also the CAG web server offers a fascinating option that you can actually go to. If you go to cag.org/akbatlh, that's PAQBATLH, it gives a version of this. It's not, you know, the page numbers aren't there, and even many of the section numbers aren't there, but it gives not only the Klingon and the translation as it appears in the printed copy, but a second English translation, which is more, which is closer to the Klingon.
Interesting.
Less poetic and more direct.
Excellent. Okay, I've got it up here. Okay, that's perfect. So, yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, so if you do want to follow along with us, you could do it at cag.org/pakpak.
Oh, so what are we looking at next time? How much of this are we going to look at next time?
Well, from Canto 5 through Canto 14.
Okay, that's pages 108 through what?
141.
108 through 141. Excellent.
I want to add something here to our listeners. One of the main reasons we've added a Klingon speaker to read the Klingon text from the Pakpak is to give you a feeling for how Klingon can sound. If you're willing to go ahead and pick up a Klingon text, and there's a lot of them out there now, everything from Shakespeare to the Gilgamesh Saga, like what we're doing now, the Pakpak, but do a reading at your local library. Do a presentation in Klingon at your local convention. Something to spice up your activities. If you're unsure, I'm fairly certain the people from the Klingon Language Institute would be willing to help you with your readings of the material. Jim and I aren't really good at it, but John Shee is, so.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, John Shee, you added another dimension to this podcast, which was already incredible, because Kartan is just absolutely mesmerizing to listen to. So I surely do appreciate, we do appreciate both of you being with us.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm passionate, if nothing else.
Well, he's having fun. That's the important part.
Yeah.
You mean passion, unless you're having fun, we're going to have to cut you out.
Oh, no, I'm having fun. That's for certain.
Okay. Just checking.
For
first rule of CAG.
Yes. For John Shee, Kartan, and Jorn, I am Jajim, and Kappa.